Welcome back to the Press Box and another wonderful Saturday in the Commonwealth of KY. As always, the host of this grand show, the Hall of Famer, as I like to call him, Dave Buzzy Baker. Buzzman, take her away.
Gator, we appreciate it. The Press Box and our weekly racing previews brought to you by Churchill Downs, by TwinSpires.com, by Bristnet.com, by Ellis Park, by Oak Grove Racing and Gaming, by the Fairgrounds, by Horseshoe Indiana, by the Exacta Systems, by the KTOB, and by the Louisville Thoroughbred Society. Okay, so I'm doing one of those things that I don't know whether I should or not, but, Mr. McLean, I think it would only be appropriate as the biggie today, at least historically, is the Preakness Stakes, but it is certainly not the race that it has been. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's a fair analysis, Buzzman. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the state of Maryland. You know, the Pimlico, the home of the Preakness for most of the 150 previous ones. It has moved before, but for the vast majority of those, it's been at Pimlico, the historic racetrack in Baltimore, and it has been raised. It's been brought to the ground, and necessarily so. It needed to be rebuilt, and the Commonwealth of Maryland has taken, the state of Maryland has taken that over and has taken on that project. And there's been some, you know, as all major projects are, particularly when it comes to rebuilding a racetrack of this historic significance, there's always a lot of debate and things going on. And so there's been some delays and all of that. And so it's been relocated to Laurel Park, you know, in Maryland, but still a ways out from Baltimore. And you know, that's one part of it. And I think the second part is, you know, I think horsemen and horse owners have utilized that excuse to say, we're just going to hold off and run in the Belmont. And so you're seeing a lot of the major contenders that left the Derby taking some time off and recalibrating and getting ready for the mile and a half now at Saratoga, because New York is rebuilding Belmont Park and almost got that project completed. But I'd like to see the new Pimlico rebuilt and go back and be part of this historic Triple Crown as it has been for so many years.
Okay, let me ask you one other quick question before we get to this year's Preakness. Is it more of a there being just the way horses are being trained now, and trainers want more time in between the races, or are they just saying, you don't have to change it, but let's change the schedule in the Triple Crown? Your thoughts?
Yeah, and that's a whole show unto itself, because I disagree with what is occurring in our game today, and it's going to take owners demanding that trainers utilize this a better schedule to race their horses. In my opinion, we train way too much and we race way too little. And so this excuse that horses need 5 weeks in between races is just folly. And it was really created by Todd Pletcher. He was the first to do it, and it's ironic that he learned his trade working for D. Wayne Lucas, who is probably one of the most aggressive guys in riding horses as opposed to training horses. But this idea that we need 5-6 weeks in between races, it makes no sense. I mean, look at Todd Pletcher's record in the Derby, and I don't have it right in front of me, but he's like 2-for-30 or 2-for-50 or 2-for-60. And it's closer to 60 than it is 30. I think it's 2-for-69 or something like that. So if his plan was working, Toddy, then you would have a lot more wins or more, you know, significant finishes. I know he ran second in this year's Derby with Renegade, but the fact of the matter is that's not holding out in the traditional Triple Crown. The Triple Crown is significant, and it should not, in my opinion, be moved because this new wave of mega trainers decide that that 5 weeks is the minimum between races. It's like the mythical 100 pitch count in Major League Baseball. You get, you know, at 99 pitches and you're throwing at 98 miles an hour, you're great. But at 100 pitches, you got to come out of the game. I mean, according to some mythical mythology that some right. analyst who probably is still in his mother's basement, you know, has concocted this idea that at 100 pitches, a Major League Baseball pitcher can't pitch. And you know, these ideas, I go back. Woody Stevens won five straight Belmonts, Buzzy, and he won one of them with a horse off of a four-day layoff. He raced 4 days before the Belmont, going a mile and a half. He raced and
That's
came
right.
back in the Belmont, and he wins the Belmont again. And you know, this idea that 5 weeks is mandatory now rest for horses is simply folly. It's going to take owners demanding trainers do what is right for the horse, and that is train less, race more.
Okay. Well, with that, we will now get to the race. It was,
yes.
it was calmer than I thought. I mean, I got to tell you, I thought when I asked the question, I thought I was putting myself in harm's way, but absolutely not. So let's talk about this year's Preakness. And
yes.
we've got, what, three horses that ran in the Derby who are coming back in the Preakness.
Yeah, you've got O'Selly, who is still the maiden. You I wrote about that this week. I don't think maidens should be in the Kentucky Derby. I'm not saying I would go so far as to say any graded stake, a maiden should not be eligible. I just think the game is the particularly the Kentucky Derby is the greatest race in the history of the sport. And there's 20 horses in the field every year. And there's a reason a horse is still a maiden. If you can't break your maiden before the Derby, you really shouldn't be in the Kentucky Derby. I mean, I know the point system is great and it's well conceived and it's really important, but there ought to be the first eligibility requirement in my mind is you've got to have won at least one race. And O'Selly is still a maiden. He's now raced seven times. He's only run second one time. Again, I'm not going to bet O'Selly. I didn't bet him in the Derby. He caused me great harm by running third because I would have had the trifecta and the supervecta and the super high five if he had not run
yeah.
in the Derby. So,
but you're not upset about it. That's a good thing.
I'm not upset. I realized he was in the race. He ran a great race. He ran third. Tip of the hat to Whitworth Beckman, the trainer, and Tyler Gaffleone, who I really love as a rider. He ran a very nice race, ran third. Congrats. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, maidens don't belong in grade one races. And I don't think it's a high bar to ask to have won a single race to be eligible. And so O'Selly is not a horse I'm going to use again. I think, you know, there's the second horse that ran in the Derby was Robusta. He's going to be breaking the four hole. He ran 14th, never was in the race. Another horse that got in off the also eligible list. He ran seventh, got beat 16 lengths in the Santa Anita Derby. So the
right.
last two races, he's gotten beat 33 lengths. Not a winning formula for me either. You know, and the other horse that was in the Derby is now Incredibolt, who is they made a change of heart and a change of plans after seeing the lack of horses going from the Derby onto the Preakness. Incredibolt is going to be breaking from the 12 hole for Riley Mott. Now this horse I think has a legitimate shot. I don't think the race necessarily plays to his strength, which is closing. But he has three wins and six starts. He did run well as a two-year-old. He won the Street Sense Stakes at Churchill. The only really blemish on his resume is the Holy Bull, which started out this year. He ran very poorly in that race, but he came back. He won the Virginia Derby, and I think ran a very good race in the Derby. So Incredibolt is a horse I think you've got to look at very seriously. You know, pedigree wise, I don't think he really wants this kind of distance.
Okay.
He's by Bolt the Oro. But again, I think this field, you know, he's a horse that bears watching in this field and could hit the board. He's not in my top two, but I think he's a horse that I could use underneath.
Okay. So we have arrived at that time then to go ahead and to tell the listening public who come here to try and make sure they can send little Johnny to a summer camp or something by listening to your learned and expert opinion. How do you play it?
Yeah, and if they did on the Kentucky Derby and bet the 28-1 shot that I really liked, I liked Further Ado and some others in that race, and didn't like him quite as much as I loved Sovereignty the year before, but I encourage people to bet Golden Tempo. I hope that they did so. And so little Johnny, it may not have all of his backpack ready to go, but at least he got a new pair of hiking shoes
right.
for the summer camp. We're going to try to give him all the way there. I don't know if the odds are going to be as robust, so to speak, for this race, but I do like two horses in particular. I like Iron Honor. He last race in the Wood Memorial did not fire his best shot that day for trainer Chad Brown. He was the favorite. He got bumped in the first, kind of early in the race. He had some troubles. The blinkers are coming off, and I think that's a good sign. I think that's a good sign. When blinkers come off for Chad Brown, he wins at 24%. He's also making a huge rider switch. He's taking Manny Franco off, and he's putting Flavian Pratt up. Those two things, I think, are really meaningful. If you look, he had a very sharp work on May the 9th at Belmont Park. He went 48 flat for the half mile out of 184 that worked that distance that day. That was the 10th best. So I think those three things, and I love the fourth thing is critical here too. He's by a Kentucky Derby winner, Nyquist, and out of a Blaine mare. The pedigree speaks volume for this horse. The training looks very positive. The switch of riders is very positive, and the blinkers coming off. Iron Honor, 9-2. If you get 9-2, that's a blessing in disguise. That's the horse I think is the one to beat. And the second horse I really like, and I don't know if he's seasoned enough yet, but I think is a riser. He's rising in this three-year-old division, and that's Taj Mahal, trained by Brittany Russell. Another son of Nyquist out of a quality road mare. The mare, the dam of Taj Mahal, with stakes placed. She's had two starters, two winners. This horse has already run the stake and won it over this racetrack. And so he won the Federico Tessio Stakes
yes.
by 8 1/4 lengths. And, you know, this horse has real speed. So this horse is going to be on the lead. For the ownership team of Starlight Racing and blah, 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 blah. So I do think that Taj Mahal, you got to go catch him, one. You got to go past him, two. And then you got to beat him, three. And he's going to be the horse that's going to be out there in front of all of these and making the lead there at the turn for home. And I just don't see any other horse in the field that has that quality of speed. Now, Napoleon Solo, I think, has some speed. He ran, was on the lead in the Wood Memorial. He was close in the Fountain of Youth. Napoleon Solo is a horse that could soften up Taj Mahal a bit. The horse outside of him, Corona de Oro, has got some speed for trainer Dallas Stewart. He ran on the lead in the Lexington Stakes at Keeneland. So those two horses probably have enough speed to kind of soften him up just a tad. But I think the horse to beat is Iron Honor, the 9-horse, 9-2, Chad Brown, with Flavian Pratt getting up in the saddle.
All right. And, of course, for Gene's picks for the entire Preakness Day card, everything that's going on at Churchill Downs, every day that they're racing there, only one place to get it, and that's right here at thepressboxlts.com. The Press Box and our weekly racing previews brought to you by Churchill Downs, by TwinSpires.com, by Bristnet.com, by Ellis Park, by Oak Grove Racing and Gaming, by the Fairgrounds, by Horseshoe, Indiana, by the Exacta Systems, by the KTA and the KTOB, and by the Louisville Thoroughbred Society. Mr. McLean, here's hoping you and yours have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And as always, may the horse be with you.
Yes, you as well, my great friend. But, you know, I'd be remiss.
Yes,
remiss. If I didn't ask you, your selection coming off your hot pick in the Derby being that Baffert Potente. Is he still running? Did he make it back?
I'm going to guess he's probably out in California, but I cannot confirm that.
No, he worked this morning. He worked this morning or yesterday morning. I saw his work, and I think he's still at Churchill, to be honest.
Okay, well, there you go.
Well, he
there
did work. Wherever he is, he still worked.
He worked.
But who is your – I mean, you know, coming off that robust selection, I would
say – I'm going to make another robust – I'm
you
make
cannot do any worse
selection.
Than Potente. Who is this?
Since you want me to make a robust selection, I'm going to go with Robusto at 30-1.
Robusto. Yeah, Doug O'Neill.
Yeah, that's robust right there. So you ask and you receive.
That's exactly what I was looking for. Can I give you one long shot?
Please go.
And a horse that I think you, Mr. Baker, would be remiss if not utilizing in your selections. That's a 20-1 shot named Talking. That's how you make your living, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Trained by Danny Gargan, I think one of the most underrated trainers in this game and in this sport, a very successful trainer, getting Irad Ortiz up in the saddle 20-1 in the morning line. And coming off a third in the Bluegrass Stakes when we know Further Ado won by 11, this horse only got beat for a second by a length and ran against the Puma Further Ado in the Tampa Bay race. And I just think, you know, this horse may have an outside shot. Talking, the five horse, how you make your living, Mr. Baker, you might want to look.
Yes, and so what I'm going to do is I'm gonna box Talking with Robusto and just go for the gusto.
There you go.
Well, I think all right, brother. Have a great weekend.
You too, brother. See you, man.
Love you, my friend. Take care.
Love you too, brother. Take care.